Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome back to a fan-filled edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast.
Filled, huh?
Filled was strong. I thought they were going to get 6,500 in Chase Center. By the way, Marcus Thompson with me. You just heard his voice. We are in Chase Center where fans were here for the first time in 409 days was the stat they kept throwing out there. But I thought they were going to get 6,500. I believe that's what they were allotted. 6,500 of like the 18,000, but They're kind of trickling them in, and sounds like to me these first three games they're gonna only do around 2,000. That's about what it was tonight, and then maybe try to go between like 4,000 and 6,000 for the final six. Let's start there. Warriors beat the Nuggets. What did you think of the crowd and the crowd noise?
Well, they were probably smart to do that today because apparently the testing line and the vax line, like to get in, was kind of a zoo. So I know Kim Stone is going to do some evaluation and fixing some things. Yeah, because I'm better with names than Mr. Stephen Curry. But they kind of needed to feel it, you know, feel how many they needed for concession stands, you know, feel how many, like, just how they were going to set it up, because you can't eat in the crowd. So I was thinking that, like, if you got 6,000 people just in the concession, like, in the foyer eating, like, that's probably a little wild. So they probably needed to do that, but it was a little bit more tame than I thought. I figured you would feel the 1,900 more than we felt. So that was a little weird, but the players seemed to appreciate it a little bit. Like they seemed to like it.
Yeah, I mean, it was different than the empty, right? The blue there's something depressing about the blue tarp. So even walking in and be like, "Oh, it's seats." It felt more normal. And then, yeah, I mean, just human interaction, human noise, just ambiance, I think just helps, you know, the vibe for everybody. I do generally agree with you. It was not like a rowdy 1,900. Now, I think some of that was thrown off a little bit of, like, I was thinking, man, if Steph comes out and it's just bang, 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 3-3-3. Like, remember the game he had where he passed Wilt?
Yeah.
And he scored, like, 19 right away. Like, if he had had that game tonight, I think you might have had a more jumping early crowd. But the problem was, not only did he go scoreless in the first quarter, he, like, left for the locker room for 4 minutes and came back. And even when he came back, he was limping. Like, I don't know how much the crowd sensed what was going on, because obviously as journalists, we're following that a little closer. But, like, the first quarter was really odd, and it kind of set the tone for a weirder night, because all I was watching, I was like, Steph's like does not look right. Now that changed, but I thought that kind of set the mood.
It was weird because he checks out, right, and it looks like an equipment malfunction, right? He said it was tape, but live, we didn't know what it was. Was it his brace? Was it the shoe? He leaves, and you know, the way he jogged off, I was like, okay, it's got to be some kind of equipment thing, because he jogged off as if to say, don't worry, y'all, it's not ankle or something.
Yeah, and also it felt like to me, like, let's go get this retape so I can come back in the game.
Yeah, it sounded like, it felt like he wanted to come back. Then he's gone for a while, right? It wasn't like, yo, let me just grab a new brace. He was gone. He missed 5 minutes. He comes back, he comes in, and then he can't move. He's, like, clearly favoring it. He's not moving that well. He comes out again and changes shoes and then goes back in. So, yeah, it was a little like, uh-oh, what is going on with Steph? And there's nothing to Paul's fervor, like the possibility of a Steph Curry injury. That Warriors fans, they know how to hold their breath for that one.
Yeah, and like half of me sitting there thinking, why the hell is he in the game? If he can't move, if he's moving like that, this really puts him at risk. And then the other side of me is like, clearly it must not be something serious, because we know how carefully they
treat
him.
That's what
I
was thinking. If there was something, he's not in this game. Like, did they go, especially he's dealing with, like, it looked like he was grabbing the back of his foot.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, we've been there.
We've been down this road. And then Rick's coming over to him, talk to him every stoppage. I was like, it can't be something because they pull him out. Like, there's no question about it. But it turns out it definitely was something.
Yeah, I mean, I think he acknowledged that, like, there was some sort of ankle tweak, too. It was, like, clearly an ankle thing. He said it wasn't as bad as the Boston one. And the Boston one apparently was not even bad enough to make him miss a game. He didn't even miss a game. So it doesn't sound like it's anything that's going to hold him out. But, yeah, I mean, he was – to me, the problem was he was pretty immobile out there. And, like, with Campazzo just, like – up in his grill early on, and the way the Denver guards were clearly told to defend him, he just didn't even want to be in the action early on. And I that was a problem in Washington too. He looked a little bit tired, and in the way Washington threw three guards out there and were kind of defending him, pressuring him, like, that's just something to watch late in the season. Now he recovered. He scored 12 in the third, 13 in the fourth, finished the game with the game high 32 points, was kind of the star of the second half. But he's not invincible. They've put a lot of a burden on him this season, obviously, and they just, you got to monitor that down the stretch, obviously. But at the same time, what's funny is the last couple of games, they've been fine without him. You know, like, they were really good in Washington when he was off the court, and they, you know, even as he's going through that stuff in the first quarter today, Oubre comes in 9 quick points. Jordan Poole's playing the non-Curry minutes. He's scoring when you need it. They're, like, winning the non-Curry minutes.
Michael Mulder kills it when he's out of Steph is in the locker room. Mulder's dunking on the old Nugget squad.
He can kind of dunk.
Oh, yeah, no, he's got little hops. I definitely think when he can't cut and do the change of direction, especially off the ball when he's trying to zip, he looked like he didn't want to do that at all. He was like, give the ball up. I'm going to go ahead and draw the attention this way. Y'all go do it. I never seen him wave that many times.
I know, he was waving people off, and I almost – and Campazzo was like, nah, I'm not being waved off.
He like, go. It was weird. But the odd part is he changes his shoes, and eventually second half, he doesn't look so immobile, right? And that's what was weird. I just kept trying to figure out what is happening here. But you, like, after the game when he's, like, being kind of coy about it, think that's just how it goes or things happen sometimes, like, you could tell he didn't want to talk about another.
He didn't want to detail it at all.
Not at all. So he clearly tweaked it a little bit, and but he could clearly play. I'm surprised that they let him play. In hindsight, if you knew it was another ankle coming off the last ankle, I'm surprised they let him play. I thought that was a pretty risky move by the Warriors, but I guess they wanted to win this game.
They're, like, going for it right now.
Isn't that odd, though? They spent all year talking about this season, whatever.
For sure.
And now it's like, we're all in, baby. Chips in the middle.
Yeah. I think with when the Wiseman situation was kind of clarified and the reality of, like, they kicked that can down the road of, like, developing him and they're staring at kind of a challenging summer and into next year with him and just, like, roster reconstruction, all that. I think the pressure of what that's going to be in the summer, I just get this sense that there's a realization that, like, the better they finish this season, I think the less outside noise they believe will be there, right? If they just kind of eroded this season away, like, fell out of the play-in, didn't even make the playoffs, that's going to feel a lot different for them as a whole and around them going into the summer than if they sprint to this finish with – I know this. I've talked to a bunch of people in the organization. They see this soft schedule, and they see the – they've been, like, really eyeing the sixth seed, which I'm, like, telling, like, no, that's too ambitious. You're not hopping Memphis, Portland, and Dallas and getting to the sixth. Now, Portland's free fall, and they lost again tonight. They actually lost to Memphis. It's possible
they lost that game?
Yeah.
Wow.
At home. But Dallas, who's coming in here Tuesday, sure, if you get that Dallas win, you have the tiebreaker. Maybe that reels them back in enough. But my thing with them is just get to the 7-8 side of the play-in. And then you just have to win one or two games. And if you win one or two games, you get Utah or Phoenix, make some noise. Let's say they push one of those teams to six and Steph looks awesome all the way through. That's going to feel a lot different going into the summer for everyone involved, the front office, the coaching staff, Steph Curry himself, if he gets to make a little, first-round noise. So I can see why they still feel like a lot is at stake this year, even if a title's not at stake.
I just feel like all that stuff was true earlier when they were – not trying to go for it and acting like, whatever, we're going to punt on this season, right? Here's an interesting question. Is it better for them to get to 7 and play Utah at Phoenix, or is it to get to 6 and play the Clippers?
I think if you could pick, you would rather play Utah or Phoenix. I mean, I think we all know that that's just like a more likely situation to, I don't know, I mean, you say that at the same time, the Clippers are the one that crumbled emotionally in the playoffs and the bubble. I
wonder if their desire to get to 6 is like a signal to what they preference.
No, they don't want to be in the play-in, which I understand.
It's one game, though. It's like when, I mean, I guess you could lose the game, right?
Yes, that is something that can happen in the play-in. You can lose
the game, but...
I'm going to tell you something. This team that we've watched all season could lose one game to, like, the Portland, saying, and then they could...
If they play 2 games, how many are they going to win? They're going to win 1.
Well, that's true. If you look at their record, they're now 30-30 Warriors, who were also 20-20. Kelly Oubre, which he's accepted a bench role. And when he came back from the wrist injury and they were keeping Kent Bazemore in the starting lineup, to me, that was a more like Steve Kerr could hide his motives a little bit better by saying, look, Kent Bazemore's playing well. The starting lineup's playing well. They're 4-1 in 5 games. Like, hey, Kelly, we're going to kind of keep it moving how it is. Then Kent Bazemore, who's now in health and safety protocols, Damian Lee is too. And the thought is, well, kind of, you know, do you have to give the starting spot back to Kelly Oubre? How's he going to handle it if you don't? How's he going to handle it if you give it to, I don't know, Michael Mulder, who's never plays?
And if it wasn't Mulder, it would have been Nico Mannion starting, huh?
Right, Gary Payton II, I thought we might see tonight. We didn't. Or Poole, you know, I thought maybe they'd give the young guys some more run. But Steve Kerr now has sent out a louder signal, like Kelly Oubre on this team moving forward. And yes, this means the rest of this season. And it's even a wider discussion, which has already been had, of into the future. You are an energy bench player. And the ironic thing is, he's been really good at it. This is now 3 straight really good games where he's provided life off the bench. He had 23 tonight. I don't think this is what he wants to be long term, and that's why I'm not sure this is going to be his home long term. But for the stretch run, he looks really good in this role.
Yeah, they're going to have to sell him on it. The odd part is, the better he looks in this role, the more likely he probably won't want it. Right? It's more like, oh man, I'm killing. If I'm getting 20 something off the bench, I can be a starter in this league, right? They're going to have to sell him on wanting to win. They're going to have to sell him on the Andre Iguodala message. And, you know, that's where Draymond's going to come in. That's where Steph's going to come in because, you know, they love the guy and they've got this rapport with him. If he can be this guy and, you know, with the second unit is where he can do his put your head down and go, right? Those non-Steph minutes, that's kind of where they need it at. I think if what's interesting is I think he was just – you can get him to do it. I feel like you can get him to do it. I just think there was part of him that was looking at other pieces on the roster. It was like, man, I probably should be starting.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
That's what I mean with tonight, where like you're telling him it, but he apparently was told, and they called it a walkthrough because they didn't shoot around today. So 3 p.m. or something before the game, he's told Michael Mulder starting. Michael Mulder is a fringe NBA player. Kelly Oubre thinks he's a $20 million per year type player. is a $14 million per year type player. I think we both are in agreement. Like, he's not what he's not going to become what he probably thinks he's going to become. But yeah, he's probably like Michael Mulder starting over me. And I think maybe to me, their only shot at maintaining this Oubre relationship long term is a really strong winning finish to this season, where he realizes, oh, like, you can be, you know, Andre, like, for the Thunder, for example, when I covered them, Harden came off the bench for Tabo Sefolosha. Reggie Jackson came off the bench for Sefolosha and later, like, Robertson. You know what I mean? And, like, maybe if he's around enough winning over the next few weeks, he realizes, like, oh, no, like, sometimes, like, Kelly Oubre tonight was much more important than Michael Mulder. And maybe if he feels that enough, he'll feel like, oh, maybe this kind of is me in the league. But the reality is, at his age, with his financial and, I think, shots, minutes-type desires, I still don't think he's going to necessarily come to that realization.
Yeah, I think a playoff series would help, right? If he's in the playoffs and he's playing well in the playoffs and he's got a role and he sees it as important and they build something.
Like, and Marcus Thompson's writing, like, these lengthy, in-depth features about, like, Kelly Oubre has found his home in the league. Like, you know, with these glowing Draymond quotes.
Oubre, what did somebody call him? Oubre Dalla? Oubre?
Did somebody
tweeted me that. Oh, Kelly Oubre Dalla. I do think that's probably their best-selling point from that perspective. Get to the playoffs, have him look good in the playoffs coming off the bench, and Draymond and Steph in his ear saying, next year we can win a title if you stay with us, right? Like, that's what they got.
They have a huge Game 3 win over Utah, and on the podium they're saying, like, you know, this is Kelly Oubre's win. You know, that, like, he basically has the game he had tonight in a playoff game. I think that would help, for sure. Jordan Poole, probably the last subject.
Jordan Poole is nice, son. Jordan Poole is nice. Y'all better stop playing with Jordan Poole. What was Steve doing? What was Steve doing playing Nico Mannion? Like, put the ball in Jordan Poole's hands.
Yeah. Well, I think the Brad Wanamaker earlier in the season. Now, it's probably more excusable, I guess, because, like, I mean, we all thought, like, they brought Brad Wanamaker in to be the backup point guard. And, like, honestly, nobody was really criticizing it early on. We thought that was good. That was
a solid move. And he looks good in Charlotte.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, I just did, like, a really big Jordan Poole story talking to a bunch of people. And I feel like he needed the bubble to, like, get back in rhythm. He hadn't played basketball for 9 months. He'd done all this stuff over the summer mentally and, like, individual drill-wise that he needed to actually implement in a game. And I don't even just mean, like, as Brad Wanamaker's, like, shooting guard for four-minute stretches with veterans out there. Now, he needed, like, 37 minutes, go, you know, hand him the ball, run a G League team. So I think he really needed the bubble. Now, post-bubble, I think we were all saying it, like, why has he got to play with Mannion? And the rationale was two things. I mean, this whole, like, he can't be a point guard, which I think we all realize. Look, we're seeing it now. He can be a combo guard that's not necessarily a point, but he can be the only he can be out there without another point guard. And then the other reason was, remember they tried this whole, like, Mannion, Poole, Wiseman together thing, this youth movement, which, I mean, Mannion's just not ready. And the way they're trying to win. But anyway, now Poole, I mean, he's taken, you know, he had that really big start off the bubble, which was like 8 games of like 20 points, so like 50, 40, 90, slumped a little with his shot. I think it's been really encouraging what he's done really like the last 4 games. You know, it's not huge nights every night, but it's just big buckets, timely. He's surviving defensively. They're winning every time he's on the court right now. Look at his plus-minus lately. They're winning those minutes. And a lot of those are non-Curry minutes. You know how important – like, that's his role. That's his most important responsibility the next couple seasons, is make them passable in the non-Curry minutes. And he's doing it right now.
He's an offensive creator. Like, that's the part. When I'm like, jabbing Steve, is because I don't think Steve saw him as a guy who could – put the ball in his hand, he can create offense. But I think he can do it. It's not going to be floor general. It's not going to be, you know, what Draymond's doing. But he can make a move. He can make a decision. And he can make a defense pay. I mean, we saw it tonight. Like, he get them open looks. He was drilling them things in the way that Wiggins kind of don't, right? The wide open momentum. Mulder missed one from the corner. Could have put him up 16. Would have been like a backbreaker type deal. Poole makes a lot of those. But just his ability to create off the dribble, to have the ball 30 feet from the basket,
Kevon somebody.
Yes. Just like that. Like, it's, he can do it. He can get there. And you could see him. He's still learning how to play. He's not, like, arrived as a player. He doesn't have all of this stuff in his bag, right? We still haven't seen him hit that mid-range that he was doing his rookie year when he came back the second time. He still got some other parts he can develop. He was driving and got a shot blocked a couple times, right? He's got to learn how to, you know, be more creative with the finish or maybe dunk some of those, right? But the fact that he can do that, they don't have many guys who can, from 30 feet and two dribbles, be at the rim. It matters. He's still, like, he'll come off these screens and he's got more time than he thinks. But he's still hitting, like, he's shooting it and he's hitting it. Like, that dude can play, man. Like, he is a good basketball player. He's super young still. Not a lot of miles on him, right? Like, he's still, like, he's going to be good. And the more confidence he has, I think he's going to get better. I think you're so right about that. Like, if he's the guy getting you buckets in the non-Steph minutes, he was already super confident, right? What does that mean now if he can be that guy? Like, you don't get more comfortable than that. Now, and then you can play him with Steph and then create all these other problems for the defense. He is really good, and they desperately need offensive creators. They just don't – they don't really have anybody else outside of Draymond, like, knowing where people are going to be off the screens.
Yeah, he's got good quickly. You know, like his year one to year two leap is, like, just
– isn't it crazy, like, some of the shots he makes, takes and makes – based on the dude we just was watching a year ago last. Like, it's sometimes it's like the when he's shooting, I'm thinking it's going in. And there was a time he was so far from this, right? Like, it was a year ago. It wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I mean, it happens. You know, I think he's done a lot to his body too. He just looks bigger out there. He's absorbing contact more. I mean, he's just
is he more explosive?
No, I wouldn't, you know, Chris Weems, who I talked to, gave me this great quote after great quote, to be honest with you. He's like, he's not an explosive athlete or a quick burst athlete. He's just so, it's like smooth and it's kind of quick twitch. It's like deceptive and it's slippery. I will use that term. I was talking to him about going through Ben Simmons on a play, and I was like, that's not a play you make as a rookie, right? Like, you could not finish at the rim as a rookie because you were just getting ragdoll thrown around. No, he, like, went into Ben Simmons, like, made over. I was like, you must be stronger. He's like, no, I'm slippery. Like, he views, and that's it. I don't know. It's like this slithery style that it's not Russell Westbrook, right? Oh, no. He's not just like, but he'll, remember he tried to, or I wouldn't call it a dunk on JaVale McGee, but remember that where it was like, and he'll go for it.
That was not a dunk on try.
So it's deceptive athleticism too.
His first step is good. He's got a really good first step.
And he just, I like the way it'll be a catch, and he's looking this way. He already knows he's making the right drive move, but the way his eyes are, like, kind of training the defender of, like, I'm not doing anything. I'm lulling you to sleep. Go. Like, he does a lot of that.
Have you seen him do the travel step, the step back, or the travel off the end?
I think another one.
I think he's kind of stopped that where, like, because he's moving forward. Like, he's catching and he's ready to go. You don't see him do the negative step. You're not seeing him travel. Like, man, he figured a lot of stuff out really fast, like, really quickly.
Well, he's really dedicated to figuring it out, and that matters. And the other thing is, you know, he does not have a LaMelo Ball feel for the game because, like, LaMelo Ball has, like, very rare feel. But, you know what, like, he kind of reads the patterns of the game very well. Michael Mulder didn't even hit the corner three tonight, but he set up Michael Mulder for a corner three. Yeah. It was, like, really just a nice offensive move. But anything else from tonight? Draymond had 19 assists tonight. Yeah,
you talk about Draymond with 19 assists, huh? In a zone passing. I thought he had 19 assists. It was defense on Jokic was even more impressive than that. Like, Jokic is incredible. You hold Jokic to 18 points on super high efficiency, you did pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed his imitation of Jokic's, like, fadeaway.
Yeah, the 1 foot. Yeah, the 1 footer. Yeah, that's funny, Draymond.
All right, we will talk to you maybe after Sunday's game against the Kings, definitely after Tuesday against the Mavericks. Should be a good one with some playoff play-in implications on the line. Talk to you then.